Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Appreciate that. I did want to point this out, if you don't mind. Mike, you were talking a lot last week about number six for San Francisco and how he hits to kill people. His name is Malik Mustafa. He was a fourth-round draft pick by the San Francisco 49ers.
Wake Forest?
Way out of Wake Forest. That's right. The San Francisco 49ers had two draft picks in the fourth round. One of them was Isaac Garrido. The other one, Malik Mustafa, the pick the Cowboys traded for Trey Lance. So they got a safety.
Look, and I know what you said.
That was the safety.
That was the one they got for Trey Lance. So.
And
we wouldn't have picked him, though.
Collinsworth is like, I think that guy's going to be a player in this league. And I know we talked about some of his ups and downs broadcasting last night, but I thought he looked pretty impactful as well.
So there you go. They got their running back in the fourth round, and they got a safety in that fourth round as well. Let's go to this weekend.
We got our quarterback for
back
that we didn't use.
We got him back, that's for sure. Hits and misses. Honorable mention hits and misses for the weekend, Kevin. The steaks I made for dinner, they were a hit. They were fantastic.
Where's the meat from?
Costco.
Tom
If you'd have Costco'd it up.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, look, I don't have a Costco membership. I need to work on that. Don't have a Sam's one either.
When our kids are done, I shouldn't say done, but when they move out for college, I don't know why we would need a Costco membership.
Yeah, I will say the boys are starting to get more expensive to feed. As Carter's playing football and Avery's like, yes. I want to get bulky.
Last night, I made, you know, the cinnamon rolls that they come in an 8-pack to put in the oven. One of my kids was gone, so I made that and some eggs and stuff for dinner breakfast. And the 14-year-old ate all 8 cinnamon rolls. He's ate all 8 of them. He's like, my brother's not here. I can eat all 8. I'm eating all 8.
That's pretty crazy.
That is not a bad idea.
I'm not
him.
Sure. I think if I'd have made another stack of them, I think he would have ate more.
He was hungry.
You should ask him that and see what he was like. I kind of wish there was like 3 more.
Yeah.
The other honorable mention, running backs. Yesterday, 129 yards for DeAndre Swift. 2 running backs, Jahmyr Gibbs and Josh Jacobs for 127. James Cook, 111. Barkley, 108. Jonathan Taylor, 105. Mixon, 102. Most everybody had 1 to 2 touchdowns out of that group, by the way. Also, if we're going to keep on that trend that we've been on, I've been tracking the top 10 rushers records and the top 10 passers records this year. Of the top 10 passers, they went 42-38 this week since week 1. So they were 3-7 this weekend.
A little bit above 500.
3-7. The top 10 rushers went 6-4. They are 56-24. So,
wow.
Again,
wow.
If you're running the football late in games, you're probably winning anyway, I guess. Most of these guys, though, that are rushing DeAndre Swift, 7.2 yards per carry. Jahmyr Gibbs, 11.5 yards per carry. Josh Jacobs, 5.1. James Cook, 6.5, 4.9, 5.3. They're all averaging pretty good numbers right there.
Did I hear it right when Zeke ran the ball for, was it 11 or 12 yards on one carry? That was
11.
That was his longest run in 3 years?
I think so.
I didn't know the 3 years part. I knew it was definitely the longest one.
I thought
this
they said
year.
He didn't have that long of a run last year.
Ugh.
And then obviously that was his longest run of this year. I think you have to go back to his Cowboys year before he left. That was his, and it was, it was weird when they said it. I'm not sure if I'm getting it right, but it sounded like his longest run in a long time.
That's not what you want to hear.
And then the witching hour was also another honorable mention. Mm-hmm. The witching hour is the last hour of the first set of games. And in the last hour, man, games started changing at the very end. The fourth quarters were wild across the NFL and those 12 o'clock slate. That was an absolute blast. But number 3. On the hits from the weekend, Jameis Winston. 334 passing yards, a bunch of touchdowns, no interceptions, and that win over Baltimore.
Really showed up Deshaun Watson.
He really showed up me up, too. I was like, come on, man. It's Jameis Winston. He's going to throw some interceptions. But they looked like they simplified everything for him, and he was able to make good, crisp throws.
Since you brought that up, Deshaun Watson has never thrown for more than 300 yards in any of his 19 games as a Cleveland Brown. Joe Flacco and Jameis Winston have hit that mark in 6 of their 7 games.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
That's bananas.
Number two, the Detroit Lions.
Gwen Stefani.
They absolutely hit over the weekend. That was just phenomenal work. Every aspect of the game, they were good at. Whether it was kick returns, which I think they had two massive, one for a touchdown, one for 72 yards, running the ball. Jared Goff throws 15 times again and still gets a win for 12 completions. It's insane.
Do you mind if we expand on the Lions just a little bit? So there are so many crazy numbers that came out of that Lions game. So they win 52-14. That's the fifth time in franchise history Detroit has scored more than 50 points. They're also the first team since 1933 to get outgained by at least 150 yards and win by at least 30 points. You know why it goes back to 1933? That's the first year they tracked yardage. So they're like, it probably didn't happen before, but this is as far back as we go. And then, if you want to add on to it, the last team to put up 50-plus points with less than 100 yards passing was the Bears. In 1955, in the first half, the Lions had 9 net yards passing and 5 touchdowns.
That is amazing.
That's crazy.
And Mike, you know, you were asking about this score was 52-14. Turns out they just didn't just run the score up on the Cowboys. They're just that much better than everybody else in the league,
man,
right now.
They are.
You've been curious about the missing of Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah.
They only had one sack in this game. So they do miss him, obviously, because 52-14 with the one only sack, that's not enough for that team.
Longer term, I still remain curious about that, but that team is just throttling people.
Did you have a question, Mike?
No, I'm just looking at their roster. I don't know how much you want to spend time on Detroit, but you look at how they've maybe used free agency / trades.
Mm-hmm. Like they built the whole thing, man. They did it with piece
every
by piece.
Every which way, right? Yeah. They've had good Penei Sewell, obviously draft pick. But David Montgomery, not like they went out and got a running back. Now they've drafted a running back in Gibbs very high. It's weird that they drafted him that high and don't really use him a lot. But Jared Goff, obviously, trade. You'd have to help me out with, like, Glass, their left guard, Graham Glasgow. For some reason, I feel like he's a free agent pickup. But I'd have to go through their team, and I'm just looking at everything. I'm like, I think they've used all different ways to build that team up. And I feel like you have to. If you're ever going to overcome what the Cowboys are trying to overcome, the history, the... Like, you're going to have to somewhat Detroit Lion it, and you're going to have to figure out how to use all avenues to get your team better. They had a good tight end, but they traded him for a future asset going, I think we're going to do it a different way. Like, sometimes they trade a really good player. Sometimes they sign a free agent and they overpay, you know, Jones family to get that guy because they feel like that will really take their team to another level.
You just said the right thing. When you don't just use free agency to sign depth, you don't just go, well, we got to do this. You go use free agency to make your team better. Like, that's to make your team better, not just fill roster spots. And then the last one, number one for hits of the weekend, Dwayne Wade statue maker. Good God, this is perfect. And Kevin, I just showed you pictures of Dwayne Wade. And Mike, here's the picture of him.
He's so confused.
In on the process. And is he looking at it going, I love it? Or is he looking at it going, what the hell is this?
The first one, he looks at it perplexed. The second one, when they show side by side, he looks mad. He's like, you know damn well that statue doesn't look anything like me.
Adrian
Beltre admitted when we interviewed him during a Ranger game, his Hall of Fame plaque does not look like him.
Oh, really?
And he's like, it's okay. But him and his wife, when they saw the Hall of Fame plaque for Beltre, it doesn't look like him. But I love that this looks nothing like Dwayne Wade. I have no clue whose face that is, but it's awesome.
Did you hear his audio when he's like, who's this guy?
Oh, man.
And with his mouth open, there's so many things as a Mavs fan you can do to that if you ever visit Miami.
Oh, my God.
He has to Sammy really Watkins jack neck with that thing.
Are you encouraging people vandalize that?
No, not vandalize. Yeah, you just do different. You just can have fun with the statue that is Dwayne Wade's body, I guess, but not his face. But they did create something there that you can really screw with.
I know he's pointing down there, but doesn't it look like he's doing Kevin's move to kick a field goal?
I don't know.
Like when he's pointing down there.
I love that the Miami Heat screwed up.
They did.
Like,
royally.
I feel like they need to, like, if you're the Miami Heat, if Dwayne Wade asked, if he said, hey, can you redo my face? That they should redo the face. I do know they cost a lot of money. Those are like $150,000 to $250,000 to make.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that would need a redo if you're a Miami Heat fan. Like, I'd be really upset if Dirk's... I was like, that's not Dirk.
Mm-mm. And that's why Dirk's actually got fixed a couple different ways. They were like, no, we don't love that
so
much.
Let's make him the ball, like three different balls. He can only shoot one ball at a time.
Oh, yeah, because everyone was like, whoa, so it's an adult statue? Yep. Yeah, I'm with you.
On the misses this weekend, honorable mention goes to Aaron Rodgers on that final drive. They just ran out of time, but he was terrible against the Patriots.
Okay.
And he's at a point where he is, I've said it earlier in the year, Kevin, I was pushing, going, no, he's not done yet. It is done. And I said it earlier. You saw it there. He didn't connect with Davante Adams the right way throughout that game. What was the point of even trading for that guy? But you know what? I'll take all the Garrett Wilson stuff because that's helping my fantasy team.
What did you think about him, Aaron Rodgers, going like straight up, I don't know, 16-year-old poetry when one of his teammates was like, oh, this is the darkest right here. And then Aaron Rodgers like, you got to embrace the darkness. I've been there. I embrace the darkness. I get it. And like your fire,
Bane, right?
Yeah, it was.
He was trying to be Bane.
It was ridiculous.
In New York, in the city of Gotham.
I was like, you need to stop this. Mm.
Number three on the misses, the Cowboys special teams. What the hell was that? Four penalties on kickoffs and kick returns? How? That doesn't make sense. You set up everything before you kick the ball and before the ball is kicked. There should be no illegal formations. Now, granted, Mickey did tell us that
one
New York
of them
called
was inaccurate.
And said that one was wrong.
Yeah.
But even still, three of them? Three of them?
That's pretty bad.
That's the place where you shouldn't have that problem. That's, again, Kevin, where I go to, this is not a well-coached, disciplined team right now.
I agree.
Wouldn't that be, though, completely on, I mean, I'm maybe wrong on this, the special teams coach? Does the head coach have anything
Bones.
To do?
Like I said, well-coached. And
yeah,
Bones
and I know the
coaches,
I get the complaint about Mike McCarthy. I love the script and the circle we always go in, that it's always the coaches, but who hires the coaches that you guys don't like
mm-hmm.
eventually?
But yeah, well, they aren't well coached, and that's across the board at the moment. And I think the coaches would admit to that, especially whenever it's like, look at the results. The results are really what we're in charge of. Anthony Richardson, number two, second lowest completion percentage by anybody with 30-plus throws. And that was just – he looked bad on the final drive, too. Looked like he had no clue how to work a clock. He was throwing short. He was running for things. And it was like, your clock is ticking right now, and you have no – thoughts on even trying to get out of bounds.
Anthony Richardson is another great one to talk about. In the first half, 2 for 15 with one touchdown and one interception. So there's that.
Give Carter credit. He said he stunk in college and this was a stupid pick. And
absolutely.
It looks stupid. And then if you see his autograph on his cards, he is the laziest person in the history of football.
Wow.
I don't even think he knows how to spell his name, to be honest.
Oh,
but if
I
you
don't
look
know
at
that
it,
to be the case.
I don't know of anybody who signs their autograph with just a mark. Just like, let's just do a mark. If they're ever any good at their sport, it shows the laziness they have and the lack of pride I think they have in themselves. And they just want the paycheck. So I think Anthony Richardson is just trying to get a paycheck.
And his signature used to be a little different, but the other thing I was just going to throw out about that is, did you see when he left for the third down? They asked him about it. He goes, I was just tired. I ain't going to lie. There's just a lot of running there, and I didn't think I was going to go that next play.
I have a feeling 2 to 3 years from now, Cowboys trade a fourth round pick to get Anthony Richardson.
Oh, my God.
And then number one for the misses of the weekend, Tyreek Stevenson, who was taunting the Washington fans The play starts. He turns around and goes, oh, crap, they're running downfield. He runs over there. He had plenty of time because it was, what, 12 and a half seconds?
He did.
And then he was the one that tipped the ball that ultimately won the game. So that was the Hail Mary.
To Noah Brown.
Yeah. So that was the biggest miss of the weekend. Everybody's talking about that for sure. I did get a text on Saturday from Mike from Duncanville. Not you, our other friend Mike. And he sent me a Mark Jackson card, the Menendez brothers card.
Yes.
It was like, hey, is this worth anything? And I looked, it was like an $80 card raw. Or it actually, it was
not raw.
It was an 8.5.
Okay.
And I saw an 8 that was like 75, that sold for 75. So I was like, it's maybe like an $80 card.
I would say get rid of it now. Yeah. People are buying these because of the Netflix
yes,
thing.
Yes, absolutely.
Is that what's happening with the Jordan card too? Have y'all seen this one? There is a Jordan card that has the Menendez brothers in the background as well.
Oh, really?
And it is skyrocketing at the moment.
I don't know of this card.
I don't either.
It's an upper deck card. Rare number 89 nearly triples in value after the discovery of the Menendez brothers in the background. So that's what the card looks like right there. And they're saying that it's the one that's becoming the hotcake, obviously, too.
And look, the prosecutor was like, hey, we might need to revisit the sentencing. Like, if they get out of jail, I feel like that's probably going to profit up a little bit more.
Two PSA 9 sold for $705 and $400 on Saturday. So there you go.
We're the KNC Masterpiece, holy moly, right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time for some Wanker of the Weekend. Who was the best at being the worst this weekend, and was it maybe the Cowboys again? We'll do it next right here.
At midfield, snap to Prescott. They block it up, he pumps, he throws underneath. Caught by Lamb at the 35, spins away to the 30, fights his way through a tackle down to the 20.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time for some Wanker of the Weekend. 877-881-1053 if you want to get involved in the conversation. Obviously, Corey just brought it up, and I was not going to call the statue maker for Dwayne Wade a wanker because I think
I'm giving him MVP.
Yeah, I think he did a fantastic job. Keep up the good work. For Cleveland, we talked about this a minute ago, but Jameis Winston making the start this weekend. He's the 31st quarterback to start a game for the Browns since 2007.
Good God.
So just in 18 seasons, they've had 31. Who do you think is the next highest?
Washington.
No other team has more than 20.
That's a good guess.
One. So Cleveland has 31. No team in the NFL has more than 21. Pittsburgh, for example, only has 12.
Is the Bears on there?
I only have that information. I'm sorry.
What about the Lions?
Oh, you don't have the team that has 21?
No. Well, okay. I'm sure they're all... But the point wasn't who's the other team. The point was what that next number is. 31 to 21. They've used 10 more quarterbacks than any team in the NFL.
Cincinnati on
Corey,
the list?
I mean, they're all on the list in some form or fashion.
You really stumped him.
Oh, my God.
Nice job, Schwab.
Yeah, you didn't even do the research thing for the 21 team.
I didn't. You're right about
DiNucci.
That. Are you just saying things now?
I mean, he started a game.
Let me ask you this. What do you think about the Dove Kleiman bot, or Dove Kleiman if he's a real human? Because yesterday...
Well, this goes to birds don't exist, Reggie thing.
Yeah. Actually, there are a lot of people who think this is just like an engagement farm, and it's not like Dove Kleiman's not a person. Or at least not anymore. Like, he sold it off, and now it's just an aggregation site.
How do they do it, though? AI is just creating?
There are people who work there, but not the human Dove Kleiman. So, yesterday, I don't know. I really didn't like his tweet yesterday. I thought it was really off base. Somebody came in dressed as Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Miles Garrett. He was the Terminator.
It was an awesome costume. And Dove Kleiman said, did Scott Hansen just say the N-word?
Oh, come on,
In dude. Trying to say the name.
I heard that live. I heard it live, and I did not think that.
And he spelled it out, like, and put a couple stars in there. But I was like, seriously, I know, like, you're looking for engagement, but I thought that was sorry,
Did
man.
He get the engagement he was looking
for? He got a lot of engagement, but a lot of it wasn't positive. But then again, do you care? Or do you just want the engagement one way or another? I thought it was sorry.
If I'm a farm bot, then I don't care. I'm just assuming it's AI at this point, Kevin.
I think there are real people that work for that account. I'm not saying
until they come out and raise their hands, I'm just assuming it's AI.
Okay. We'll see what we can
do. And look at what AI is doing now.
From the 945.
Retired like 15 years ago.
That was Allen Iverson. Wanker of the weekend, Jerry Jones. Why? You know why.
Hey,
what do you do?
I'll tell you what I tweeted you guys.
Excellent.
And you, Corey, I won't give your opinion unless you want it. When they showed him near the end of the game,
he looked tired.
Just sitting there, he looks old and unhealthy.
He looked very tired in that shot.
Okay. And I know it was a tough day for him, right?
It was very
because
tough.
I'm not talking just about football, but
his daughter and his son
were in a car accident and his grandson. Mm-hmm. And luckily, everybody's. From what we
have. You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Understand.
Steven told us, fine. Yeah, they're banged up, but Steven said they'll be okay.
I don't know. Like, he doesn't look healthy to me. I don't know. He sounded great Friday with us. He had energy. He was ready to, you know, do the interview, all that stuff. But, man, when I saw him, when they showed him up in the box just sitting there, I was like, this doesn't look well.
Oh.
But that's only my opinion. He's probably awesome and going to live 800 more years.
Wow, like Methuselah. All right.
Oh, that's the one with the snakes on her head?
That is Medusa. I feel like you knew that. All right, a little bit of college football here for Wanker of the Weekend. Florida State. Florida State started the year in the top 10. They're now 1-7.
Yeah, they're number one.
Yeah.
No, they have one victory. When against did they get that? Seven
yeah,
losses.
Who the crap did they lose?
I think they beat Cal. I want to say.
Stinks.
Okay, Carter gave me the thumbs up, and so they lost. They lost a four-star commit this weekend because, you know, of course they did. Although I would always argue that's when you should recommit because you're like, your team stinks. Yeah. I'll get plenty of playing time. Exactly.
Like if you're the quarterback, you don't have to worry about that Clemson dude who's horrible at football.
Go ahead.
I know tomorrow is the Tuesday tailgate with our friend Carter Freeman, which everybody looks forward to. The ratings say so. Your coach, did he take a shot at Jimbo?
You're
last
damn
night?
Right. He took a shot at Jimbo Fisher. Let's go to cut number 24. At least I'll admit that is 100% how I interpreted this quote. All right. So this is Mike Elko. After the victory, maybe or maybe not, but probably so, talking about Jimbo Fisher.
We're very honest. We're very open. And this is a real program. It's not fake. It's not a politician running this program, talking fast and BSing everybody. This is a real program. And for all the recruits out there, this is a real place. And if you want to be really good at football, this is a really good place to be.
It's specifically the part I'm assuming, Corey, because this is where I was. There's not a politician talking real fast and BSing. I 100% thought that was about Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah. He's running for office?
I do not know that to be the case.
I think that, like, that's just the kind of the, you feel like Jimbo Fisher was one of those guys that said all the things that you wanted to hear but never really delivered, and that's what politicians are.
You want to know, go ahead.
And that, like, I appreciate that shot as especially
I did too.
He's in the right now because
yes,
his program's winning.
Yes.
So like sitting up there going, hey man, I'm doing my thing and we're not what we used to be. He's telling recruits to come play for him. That's what he was really selling there.
You know what I did during the game at one point?
What's that?
I looked up Beto O'Rourke. Remember him? Because I was like, what do you do when you're a politician
who
keeps...
Did you look it up because Ted Cruz was
Yeah,
because
you get the zillion commercials of the politics stuff. And I was like, what do you do as a politician and you keep losing? Like, he lost to Ted Cruz. He lost to our governor...
Greg Abbott.
Thank you. Greg Abbott. Texas. Thank you.
Still don't know. Said that right. Greg Abbott.
But I was like, what do you, like, is he just an advisor to other Democrats or something? Like, what do you,
because it's
like,
I have to admit, I don't know, like, the answer.
Aren't you
to that.
Jobless? If you keep running for office and you keep losing, what do you do then?
I bet he
do
could.
Do you just
be,
take a job, like, on you, sports talk radio? I don't
he
know.
He could be a public speaker and make a whole lot of money.
Okay. Yeah.
But I don't know the answer.
Random
to that
thoughts
question.
By Mike Bassick watching a football game is like, what is Beto O'Rourke up to?
I will admit, at no point during that game did I think, yeah. What is Beto up to? Also, follow up question, as long as Mike has messed up my train of thought. If you put a bumper sticker on your car of the person who loses.
Yeah, and 3 years later, yeah, they're still on your car.
Do you take it off?
Yeah,
and
you should.
And you leave it on if you won. You're like, I know this was the 2020 election, but we still won. So I'm going to keep it on there.
I have a neighbor that, since I've moved into that neighborhood, has had a Trump 2020, with the last election, whatever it is.
Okay, yeah, 2020.
They have two of those flags still hanging, and then another one that says Trump won. And I'm like, okay, like, what are we doing here?
If your people lost.
That one's over. We can just go to the next one.
There's another one coming up in 8 days.
And guess what? By the way. 4 years from now, there's going to be another one. I hope. I mean, like, that's the hope, is that we continue that process of it, because that's the way we set it up.
Wanker of the weekend.
Nobody can change that process.
Nigel Bradham, the former Eagles linebacker, he got... Now, at first, you're like, okay, that's not the end of the world. He got pulled over. He was going allegedly 78 and a 55. I'm not going to pretend that I have never sped on the highway. His two kids were in the car with him, and he openly admitted to the cops that he had a suspended license.
Mm.
This is the thing I don't understand.
Why are you in the car if you have a suspended license?
Or wouldn't you follow the law the most? It's like whenever you hear someone gets pulled over for like drug paraphernalia or whatever because they were speeding, I'm like, this feels like the moment I would be like, you better not go 1 mile per hour over that speed limit or anything.
I have always agreed with you on this, Kevin, but I've also given it more thought recently.
Oh.
Because that's not the first time he drove with a suspended license.
Yeah.
And when you do once and get away with it, you're probably doing the, you know what? I'm going to stick to the law.
That is what happened
then
when I shoplifted.
Third time, fourth time, however many times you get more comfortable with it and you just do your natural, typical things. So that's what I would consider. The first time, and if, you'll probably tell people, it was the first time I've ever had drugs in my car.
The
first time, usually you're gonna stick to the code, but after that you get more comfortable, you start letting it go a little bit.
Do you think this is better than in 2021, when I need to know the breakdown of the weight here? They just put it all together. In 2021, he got arrested for having more than 3 pounds of weed and guns. All right.
Three pounds of guns?
But see, I don't think
that's probably
it's...
one gun. I know.
I feel like that's a misleading statement, because I'm like, hold on, what's the breakdown on that? What does the average gun weigh? You're like, you got more than 3 pounds of weed and guns. Well, so he had a little bit of weed and a regular gun, maybe? Mm-hmm.
I think they're just saying 3 pounds of weed and also guns in the
car. Okay.
They gotcha. Should probably, that said
that
also
makes,
guns.
Okay, that actually does make a whole lot of sense.
But I was caught off guard by the same thing, man. 3 pounds of guns.
All right. Are the wankers of the weekend Kent State? The Kent State football team lost to Western Michigan 52-21. They're 0-8 and are now the last FBS team in search of a victory.
Mm.
Thanks a lot, Florida State.
There's always got to be one, though, right?
There always has to be a last one.
Yeah, So
they are them.
When is Kent State's next winnable game?
I mean, wouldn't your argument be never, or like not this season?
I don't know, man. I don't know who they are playing against this year.
Okay.
Let's go. Hold
Maybe
on.
They should change their school's name to Superman and everything will change.
True.
They
Take
lost off to the Tennessee. Glasses in the suit, Clark Kent State.
They lost to Penn State. Or Penn State. They lost to Pitt.
Oh, man, there's a Pitt State?
All right. So they got Ohio, Akron, Buffalo, and Miami of Ohio. Which one of those do you think they could get knocked off? They could knock off
the Akron.
Akron, yeah.
Maybe.
All right,
because they got a shot in the Akron game.
Yeah, and that's at Dick
Watch
Stadium.
Watch out for the Shack of the Mac.
I don't know about any.
Because Kent State Stadium is Dick's Stadium.
Uh huh.
D-I-X. Who's that named after?
Why are you saying it like
we
that?
We have Dickie's Arena in Fort Worth.
That's a good point.
I used to live near there, near the vending nut company.
Robert C. Dix, Kent State Board of Trustees.
Why are we still talking about this? By the way, New Orleans. They're the wankers of the weekend as well. The Saints.
What?
The Saints.
Oh, the whole city?
Because
they're underwater? Like, they're like under sea level.
I don't know if you follow us at all. There's this thing called the surrender index. It's like if you decide to punt.
Mom's all right.
No, daddy's no. All right. That's just regular surrender. Okay. This is the surrender index. New Orleans, it was the first quarter. There's 11 minutes to go in the first quarter. 0-0. They're on the Chargers 47 with a 4th-and-1. They decided to punt. That put that in the 95th percentile of most cowardly punts this season.
Hold on, there's a cowardly
punt? That's right. That is what the surrender index tracks.
I love it.
And then the 91st percentile of all punts coward-wise since 1999.
This is amazing.
You're welcome.
I love that people are keeping track of that.
If they don't have a heart, is it called the scarecrow?
Did you stay just for that?
Yeah, I did, because I was thinking of Wizard of Oz.
No, it's I got it. I really
the
did.
The lion did. He was scared. He was a cowardly lion.
Have you ever even seen this movie, Mike?
Wizard of Oz?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long ago?
There's the Lollipop Kids.
Mm-hmm. It's the Lollipop Guild.
The Lollipop Guild, the Guild of Lollipops.
Uh-huh.
A bunch of munchkins.
Uh-huh.
And then later, there's a horse of a different color,
mm-hmm.
and they fall asleep in some flowers. And the Green Witch comes, and now we have come to find out that she's really a nice person through the movie Wicked.
Mm-hmm. And she has, is it monkeys with wings?
They fly. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
I don't need a total recap of the movie.
Is this why Medford has headaches all the time after?
Yes.
Okay. Oh. Catching on.
Do you want to talk about how that movie's really about the gold standard?
I have to. I don't even know what that means.
Okay. See you later, Mike. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for our chit chat with those fellas from the G-Mag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Second and goal at the 7. Snap is back. Looking around. Prescott wide floats open. It down to a wide open wide CD open. Lamb on the left side of the end zone. Touchdown, Cowboys.
Wow.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan on a Cowboys Monday. Cowboys lose 30-24 to the 49ers. And right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chit chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Decent, Hakey. How about you?
Yeah, I think that's probably a good way to describe it. Did you, because I admitted to kick off the show, I fell into the trap of the Ravens game where even though they didn't win it, I thought the Cowboys were going to pull this thing out, like grab victory from the jaws of defeat. And I thought it was going to be another really physical.
Like the Bears?
Yes.
Yeah.
Man, no kidding. Did you guys watch that, whether it's down the stretch or on that last Cowboys drive, and you thought, I think their offense is rolling. They can
Pittsburgh.
Do it.
Kind of
I thought they could.
The Pittsburgh game.
Yes.
That's what you'd seen it, you know, a couple weeks ago.
Another physical game, too.
All of a sudden, they get an opportunity. They kind of find a way. They're moving the football. They're really not covering CeeDee Lamb all that well. And then whoever was calling plays in the third quarter kind of came back in that final drive.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was clear the Niners had figured out something in mid-second quarter, and they rode that to victory. I thought something similar had happened for the Cowboys in the last 10 minutes of the game. So going into that drive, I thought it was possible.
Yeah.
And then the first play happened, and Dak nearly threw it to three different guys with one throw.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, this ain't happening.
Yeah. What are we to make of Dak in terms of, I get it, offensive line has to play better. Will it? Don't know. Running game has to be better. Can it? Don't know. Don't think so. But is there anything else going on with Dak? He just looks kind of defeated out there. Is that just a product of none of these other things are working, or is it something else?
Yeah, he's got that look that we've seen in all of these playoff losses. And anytime things just start to snowball and go negatively, we're like, the mouth's kind of open. He's breathing through his mouth, just dazed and confused. Yeah, exactly what Corey's doing if you're watching on the fan cam.
Just got a glaze over his eyes.
Yeah, and I don't think he's got an answer. I really don't. I think some of the interceptions are probably he's pressing, right? He's trying to make a play. But
he said the second one was one of the worst he'd ever
had. Yeah, I mean, it was. I mean, in the Fred Warner one that Gavin's talking about that he just drops, there were some awful throws. And the ball's hanging up on him like a duck for hours. I mean, to be honest with you, it was a bad contract. They shouldn't have signed him.
Yeah.
That's the truth. We know what Dak Prescott is, and he's never been the quarterback that's going to elevate the entire team around him if things aren't where they need to be, and there's very few that are. We've seen Patrick Mahomes. He's not putting up offensive numbers you'd be accustomed to last year the entire regular season because he didn't have a ton of talent to work with at the end. But the difference is when the playoffs come around, he's going to make a play for you where a lot of Dak, to this point, hasn't been able to do it, and now he's not running at all. That's not a part of his game. Yeah. And maybe that is something where the walking boot happened in the offseason, and that's just no longer something he's ever going to be able to do. Because we saw him run a little bit last year, but he can't buy a cheap four-yard first down anymore. So, mm-hmm. I mean, hey, he's not going anywhere. He's around. But no, when they took the field for that final drive, I had shades of this ain't happening. Because it really doesn't.
That's the way
against
Brandon
a good
was
team
too, when he watched
on
the
road. It's not happening. Yeah. You did it against Pittsburgh, that I think is a good defense, but nobody else, like Jalen Tolbert, stepped up for you. Nobody else was stepping up on that offense besides CeeDee Lamb, and that's a problem. So, yeah, the blame is not all on him. You look around, he could use some more help. The play caller's not helping him, but no, I will never have that expectation that he's going to be able to mask any problems and he's going to raise the level of play from others. It's 9 years in, that doesn't happen. So if you're still thinking that, you need to reevaluate that thought, would be my advice.
Turpin didn't help him.
Yeah.
I mean, that ball
is a great looking ball.
And what you have a guy that's not used to catching balls over his head. That's a problem.
So why are you throwing that on third down? You know,
second down play, wasn't it?
It was third down, to my memory.
I betcha.
But I would say it was a good throw, but not a throw you would expect him to catch. The majority of the league.
See, that, well, I mean, I think the majority of the league, I just think you got a 5'8 guy out there running a vertical route that you need to throw the ball. If he's going to catch a vertical route.
It was third down.
Yeah, it was third.
You need to find a way to have him going away from you.
Yeah.
You know, so you can lay it on top of him. Because I thought his hands were late, and the way the ball came down, it hit his left hand first and then his right hand. But his feet would have been in bounds. But you got a guy that's just not used to playing with the ball over his head.
Yeah, well,
and that's design.
Yeah.
That's design right there.
Call.
Yeah. That's design right there.
We have 3 minutes. We don't want to score right now. We need 2 5-minute passes or 5-yard passes. And if we don't get the first one, then we need 1 10-yard pass. We don't need 40 yards right now and to give him the ball back with 2 minutes on the clock. It was horrible. It reminded me of the throw of Tony to Dez on he caught that ball. It's like, why are we doing this right now? We don't need a 30% shot for a huge gain that if we get, might end up losing the game for us anyway. Just horrible.
Yeah. And I don't think they've ever done, like, Turpin's never been the down the sideline jump ball kind of guy.
Yeah.
He has been he's either like quick or it's right there wide open because you set it up in the middle of the field, but it's never just down the sideline up to Turpin.
The 4th-and-4 play that he made, the catch on that, you know, that's the kind of route you need to run
exactly.
with inside where, you know, you could fit it into him there, but he needs to be able to, you know, somehow cradle the ball, you know, or have it going away from him so he can make sure that he cradles it. But to ask him to catch a ball over his head, I think that was a tough chance for him.
Yeah, and just to have, I mean, you start the game with a penalty on the kickoff, and then coming out of half, you start the half with a penalty on the kickoff. It's just like setting the table, and then it's three and out. Your offense can just do nothing, and the game's out of hand. It's garbage time.
First drive to begin the game for both teams. First drive to start the third quarter for both teams. This year, the Cowboys have been outscored 71-15. In those 14 defensive possessions, they have given up points 13 times. So,
unreal.
Like, if you believe in momentum in the midst of a game.
Yeah, they're lucky they didn't have it. You know, we always talk about the middle eight, the final 4 minutes, and then the first 4 minutes.
Yeah, Purdy slipping
clock
the ball
management.
Out of his
hand.
And
next thing you know, you know, San Francisco scores, and then you go 3 and out and give it right back to him. So you're thinking, and Zach and I are like, you just gave him 3 shots here with the ball,
two
at the end of the half and 1 to start the third quarter. That was going to be really rough if that ended up that way.
You used less than 30 seconds of the clock on that when you could have just figured out how to run the clock out in the half.
Yeah, it was terrible. And they still were up 10-6 at half, but then you come out in the third quarter 21-0 is what the Niners do. I mean, holy moly. It was And the offense isn't doing anything. I don't.
You're going three and out.
Nine plays, 19 yards.
And they don't convert. They were 4 of 5 to start the game on third down. They didn't convert another one after that point. And I think that was the after the touchdown that Zeke had for the 1 yard. After that drive, they didn't convert a single third down the rest of the game.
Because that scoring drive, they had some key third downs. Maybe three of them that were like, boom. Those are.
It was one of the best drives they've had all year.
Yeah.
Jake Ferguson fighting extra effort. The Zeke 11-yard run on first down was like, oh, holy crap. They played with some heart on that drive. I wish we could take that drive and carry it over 60 minutes. Then you'd have a good football team.
You guys got Mike Leslie at 6 o'clock. If anyone wants to volunteer their general thoughts about that interaction with him and Diggs.
You know, I'm real curious. I think it's just another sign that this team is, you know, internally not handling this great, and it's bothering them. And I guess that's a positive, and that at least we know it sucks for them as much as it does for us.
I'm curious because it felt like he had kind of been there before. And so I'm wondering, like, is this not the first time that you've been de-nutsed by a player? Just straight up to your face?
Yeah.
Because he stood
Mike
on
Leslie
business.
Mike Leslie will start up like, on you.
Wow,
I think he had a deal with CD last year after the Niners game.
Yeah,
I don't think it was a D's nuts, but I think there was some type of... So he did something that CD didn't like. So he's been there before. Mike will get in the mix there.
All right, you guys got Mike Leslie at 6 o'clock. Anything else we need to know coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold as always. Brian's looked at the film. He has those takeaways for you in the corner at 3:40 in the Mike McCarthy presser at 4 itself.
Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We've been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Say these nuts, Kevin.
I already did once. Didn't go over well.
Looks like a Peter to me.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.